I just want to make sure that I please Joe Biden with my blackness.
You're failing, I think. And I don't think he'd be happy with you.
Why not?
Because you're not a Joe Biden man.
Oh, I guess that he...
That's like basically what he said, right? If you're not with him, you might not be black. And you're not with him.
And Joe Biden runs a really tight ship.
He does.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm going to be wondering all day whether or not I'm being black enough for Joe Biden.
Because, you know, he knows.
He does.
He comes from a state that is like the eighth largest black population in it. So that's where he gets his expertise from.
Is that true? Delaware has the eighth largest black population?
Yeah, he was
talking
about
that.
How
are they doing there? I never see them when I go there. Where are all the black
people in
Delaware?
They're not all in Wilmington?
No. No.
I don't know where they are.
When I go do comedy shows there, I'm like, where are all the black people?
No, and it's a tiny state, too.
I remember one time we were in the black neighborhood of Delaware doing a comedy show.
Yeah.
And I was like, where are all the black people?
Still don't see them, huh?
No. It was like it was like a few black people, a few more biracial, like half black, half white people.
Yeah, yeah.
And then more white people than both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was like the black people was like, we're trying. We're doing the best we can, but they keep fucking deluding us. They keep getting us, man. They're getting us. That's pretty wild that Joe Biden said that. Only because he believes it.
Yeah.
He believes the sentiment. He also believes that what he said wasn't racist, which is mind-blowing to me. That these people can say these types of things and... Well, let me requalify that. So if somebody mentions something about, we'll use Trump for an example. I don't want to make this a political thing. I would rather make this a communication thing, but I can't think of anybody that says borderline egregious shit on a regular basis, right?
Yeah.
So Trump can say these illegal aliens, Mexican is sending over rapists and drug dealers. Right. And you say that's racist. He says Mexico is sending over rapists and criminals. Right. And then Joe Biden says, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black.
Mm-hmm.
One of those things is racist. According to the mainstream media, only one of those things is racist.
Mm-hmm.
The other one was just Joe Biden being a wise guy. Did you hear his apology?
You had to apologize for it.
The very next day. It might not even have been a full day later because it seemed like he was making his rounds talking to black people that day.
Yeah.
And he went and talked to, I don't want to get this wrong, but also we're not journalists, so I can. But it was either the NAACP or whatever other black organization that exists. And he was talking to them and he apologized for his remarks. And he said that he was cavalier. He was too cavalier. And being a wise guy, eh? The wise guy.
He's just being a wise guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they want, like, he was saying something in that interview, and he used a curse word, and he was like, oh, I'm sorry. And they're like, his interviewer was like, no, that's what we want to see, you know? Like, he encouraged him to be wise guy Joe Biden. So yeah. Joe Biden was, like, trying to let his hair down, too, and be a little bit like,
yes.
Hey, you know?
It's what, like, he accidentally cursed, and he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. He's like, no, it's okay. He's like, oh, these niggas spitting over here. Okay. Okay, my bad, nigga. I thought we were just, all right, I got it. Keep rolling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joe, he got too loose.
He did.
He got too loose.
Real quick.
Yeah, that is kind of more concerning to me because the way people try to caricaturize. That's the word I want to use. The way people try to caricaturize the racism of the South is that if you're black and you're below the Mason-Dixon line, and you cross a white person, you make a white person angry, that's when their racism comes out.
Mm-hmm.
But above the Mason-Dixon line, when white people are feeling real good,
that's when the racism
comes out. It's like when Joe Biden got in his hot pants a little bit, he thought he was riding a wave of success in the interview.
Yeah.
And he was like, all right, I know what black people like.
are you truly on a personal level offended by it?
I'm not offended by it. No, I am not offended by what Joe Biden said.
Mm-hmm.
It does. I do think that what he said is actual racism. He's actually saying that if you are born genetically black, you have to have these perspectives. And if you don't, you're not black. That is literally racism.
Yeah.
Literal racism. It's innocuous racism.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't judge that. See, and here's where you get into the conversation between observation and judgment, right? So I can observe that what he said was racist. I don't know what that means about the rest of the way that he lives his life. And I can't make assumptions about the rest of the way he lives his life and what that means that he thinks of me going further.
Yeah. Right?
I don't know that.
At first I wasn't. Like, I don't know. It doesn't really impact me that much on a personal level.
Because you ain't black.
I know. But at the same, yeah, on so many levels, according to Joe Biden. but also, you know, I am also aware that that is probably, or that possibly could be one thing that our kids struggle with. Well, when they go through life.
Wait, just real quick. It's just funny to me. If you would have been like, if you're thinking about whether or not you want to vote between me, if you haven't decided yet whether or not you want to vote for me, then you ain't black. Also, most of the people that have decided they wanted to vote for me, you ain't black.
Yeah. That should be a slogan, that huh? Should be a slogan. You ain't black.
You ain't black. Hi, I'm Joe Biden. I'm running for president in 2020, and you ain't black.
Bringing us together, Joe Biden.
Thanks, man. What if that is the presidential slogan that brought the country together?
You never know.
You ain't black.
Everybody's out cheering together. Like, yeah, we see each other. We can't handshake anymore. Like, you ain't black.
Man, that is. He might be right.
That's where we should go with it?
Because if we can't go in further because of coronavirus, if we can't shake hands again,
yeah,
there's nothing that distinguishes between black people and white people.
Oh, that's true.
The handshake, the way that we shook hands was the biggest distinguishing characteristic between the cultures.
Yeah.
And now we don't have it anymore.
Oh, man.
So I guess I ain't black. Nobody's black. Joe Biden's not wrong about that. He's not wrong.
Black people are going to come up with another cool way. Like, they're going to do, like, the foot. Like intertwine the foot and
like kid and play,
white people are gonna be trying it and falling over, like black people will figure it out.
No, white people, you gotta give white people credit for their ability to do culturally ethnic dances at this point in time. Yeah. I mean, white people are really, you know, I wouldn't say they're taking it and running with it, but they're right next to the cool black kids.
That's true.
Like, right
That's
next true. To them. There is no, like, you can't tell who's black or who's not by dancing anymore.
That's true.
Well, maybe Joe Biden can. But it's tough. It's tough. But what were you going to say? Like, our kids might struggle with this?
Yeah, that might be something that our kids, as they get older, like people saying, you ain't black. You ain't black enough, you know? And, you know, so like you said, I don't know.
Well, that's just the thing, though. There was a time, and I guess this is what gets me, is that people are not acknowledging the evolution of black culture in America.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was a time when you could say that to a black person and get their goat.
Yeah.
And you could probably even coerce them to act in a way that you want to get them to act if you challenge their blackness. In that moment.
Yeah.
But we're so far away from that.
We are. Like, everybody wants to, like, our kids were talking, like, the coolest superheroes get bullied at school.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's a nerd that gets bullied. And, you know, like, that's what kids want to be nowadays. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's such a weird.
The funny part to me is that the people that probably found it most offensive having their blackness called into question were probably white people.
What was our favorite white lady who ran the NCAA out in Seattle?
Goodness gracious, what was her name?
I forgot all about her with all this.
Yeah, goodness. Maybe that's what this is all about. Coronavirus was just to cover up Rachel Dolezal.
Rachel Dolezal.
That would have been so disrespectful for me to forget a powerful black lady like that.
Yeah, yeah, that
just
would.
Just completely not remember her
so
name.
So white America of you, just like.
Goodness gracious. That goes to show what America thinks about the black woman.
Yeah. I found it more strange about how, like, the demand to have a black woman as his vice president.
Yeah.
As a demand. You know, what if she's not, the right woman's not there?
I would have loved it if Rachel Dolezal heard that. I'll go back to that in a second, but if Rachel Dolezal would have heard that and been like, well, I guess I ain't black then because I ain't voting for this nigga. This motherfucker trying to tell me I ain't black. Wait, but what did you just say before that?
The demand to have a female black vice president on his card.
He's putting himself in a weird position because, so the one, Stacey Abrams, I think it was, and I it sounds like I know more politically than I do, but I only know
names.
The things that are funny.
Yeah.
Right? And Stacey Abrams is out of pocket right now. And she's trying to put her hat in the ring to be considered.
Is she a senator?
She's Georgia. And I don't know what she is.
Okay.
I think she might be
a congresswoman.
She ran for governor and lost, but they're saying the only reason why she lost is because she was racist.
Because she was racist?
No, because the Georgia was racist. Was racist.
Okay.
So that's the only reason why she lost. She lost to a conservative, I believe.
Yeah.
And then they were saying the only reason why she lost is because Georgia was racist. And then she declared herself the actual governor. And then people were even saying, like other politicians, were saying, like, I acknowledge Stacey Abrams as governor of Georgia.
What?
Not the person.
But yeah. She didn't win.
No.
We just decide.
That's what we can do with the reality nowadays. If we identify with a different reality,
yeah.
We just say it.
I don't know. I might feel like vice president one day. I
identify with you being vice president.
Okay.
You ain't black.
No.
So she's getting on TV talking about, she's saying stuff like, or they're asking her, somebody asked her specifically, do you think it's alarming if Joe Biden doesn't look for a person of color for the vice president, like a woman of color? Because he definitely wants a woman. He said that already. He's like, I'm definitely going to have a woman. Somebody he can shoulder massage.
Yeah.
I need somebody to keep my hand strong for 4 years.
Gotta twirl my finger. Yeah. Pretty curly hair.
And she goes, yeah, it is very concerning because the black female is the strongest part of the Democratic Party. And it's like, what? Like, what? What? You just said that.
You just decided,
like,
it.
You have no metrics to verify that.
The strongest part,
that.
Huh?
And then the interviewer was just like, yes, yes, yes. She's like, what's happening here? What just happened here?
It was declared.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen. All I know is that every step that Joe Biden takes makes him one step more unelectable.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah.
I mean, this is coming from somebody that ain't black, though. So I don't know, man.
Yeah.
It's wild out there. But I have been thinking a lot recently about observation versus judgment.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I'm trying to make sure that as I acknowledge how people don't know the difference, that I'm also making sure that I apply the difference. Right.
Uh-huh.
I try not to be a hypocrite as much as possible. But I'm a human, so it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? But so here's what's funny to me. Because there used to be a time when we didn't care whether or not somebody else was judging us. And that was what we were, that's what we were taught. It doesn't matter what people think of you. All that matters is what's in your own heart and how you apply yourself in the world.
Like our generation was taught that?
I was taught that.
Yeah.
You know, I know I'm 1 year older than you, but that might be the cusp. It had to happen somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, there's somebody.
No. I mean, I've heard that.
Yeah. Like there's like a 35-year-old out there that doesn't understand 34-year-olds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or it's out there somewhere. There's a cusp. Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was definitely told that.
Yeah.
I was definitely told that. And then we went through this, like, don't judge me era of society. And I'm not being sexist, right? Not even comedically sexist in this moment. But I do feel like that was largely due to women getting more social justice type degrees. Mm-hmm. And then women getting those people with those degrees and that mindset getting in positions of influence, right? So, you know, it's we do that with everything now, right? It's like, don't judge fat people.
Yeah.
You know, they're over and they shouldn't have to feel judged. What does that even mean? They shouldn't have to feel judged. That's them.
Yeah.
That's not me. Like if I... So now we're getting into the difference between observation and judgment, right?
Yeah.
If Lizzo is fat, right?
That's your observation.
That is an observation, right? Being fat gives you a certain amount of comorbidities, which we, thank you, coronavirus. We did not have that word before. I love that we have it now.
Yes.
But that's a fact.
Yeah.
That is an observation. Those two things are observations. So to say Lizzo is fat, she's unhealthy, those are observations, right?
Can you say unhealthy? You can say comorbidity, but...
Comorbidities are not healthy.
I know, right? Can you call... But I feel like you've crossed a line already. You're not allowed to call fat people unhealthy.
That's what we're discussing, though.
Okay.
And that's why I said it that way.
Okay.
That is not a judgment. That is an observation. It is factual that morbid obesity causes unhealthiness.
Mm-hmm.
Right? All observations.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's wrong with anything. Now, if I say because she's unhealthy, she shouldn't be allowed to be a role model for children.
Yeah.
That's a judgment.
Yeah.
Right? So observing what is an observation, but determining what should be allowed because of it is a judgment.
Yeah.
And I don't think people know the difference right now. Right now, just making the observation is the judgment.
Yeah.
And then people are like, don't judge me. This person's judging me. I'm like, oh my God, that person's judging you? What did they say? They said I was fat. Oh no, he didn't. You know, and it's like, you just gotta look at the person and be like, okay, he was wrong, but he was wrong. He's wrong. That's it. No buts. He was wrong.
We've got, like, remember there was a time period where you'd be like, no, they're big boned or something. Like, you'd, like, yeah. You'd, like, change it a little bit.
Yeah.
And, like, rename it, and it, like.
Well, that's, but that got wonky, too, because, you know, as black people were becoming more heralded in society because of past oppressions, mm-hmm. right? And you're like, black, you know, we need to. The perceived psyche of the black community was also being adopted. So white women are like, no, I'm fierce. I'm allowed to be this big. Ma, 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 ma. You know, it was all that. And then morbidly obese white women started claiming they were big boned. And then Joe Biden was like, you ain't black. You're fat. Only black women is big or big boned, okay? But that's not even the case. Even black women at those sizes were morbidly obese.
Yeah.
Right? So it's just the definitions of things are all over the place right now.
Yeah.
And communication is out of control.
Yeah. You just say anything you want. Anything you feel is how it is.
Yeah.
It's reality.
Yeah. I had I can't stop thinking about when I had something else that go with observation versus judgment stuff. Yeah. Or just like, okay, so look at the way that we're looking at the way Joe Biden said this. And let me make sure I'm saying this right. So we look at the way that people handle what could or could not be racism right now. And it's based off of projected judgments, not the judgments that people are making racially in the moment, but what that person could make if they thought that way.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it comes down to the fact that these good liberal white people can acknowledge that they can't stop making observations because the observations are true. So you say black people get shot by the police more. which statistically isn't even true, but let's just say that's the case. And then somebody says, well, black people commit more crimes. That's not a judgment.
That's racist.
You know what I mean? But that is racist.
Yeah.
That is racist. And what's racist, though, because that's true.
Yeah.
And that should be allowed to be thought.
Yeah.
Because it's true.
Or said.
Or said, because it's true.
It's truth.
Now, what the concern is that the person who's saying, well, black people commit more crimes, is going to then take that a step further and think black people commit more crimes because they're black.
Yeah.
And then just automatically assume that if a person's black, they commit crimes.
Yeah.
That's not what that person's saying. So it's almost like the liberals are saying, well, I know for a fact that they have to be thinking bad things because I'm a good person and even I think those things. But if a person like that thinks those things, there's no way they're not taking it to burning crosses in the lawn.
Yeah. We're all trying to save each other from each other when, like...
And none of us have done anything yet.
Yeah. But we're, like, going to stop everybody from doing anything.
That's what's wild.
Like, thought police, right? Like we're going to get to some point where it's like, oh, no, I know what you thought. Now you're in trouble for it because...
And the biggest concern about it all to me is that there is such a reward for being able to determine that somebody was racist or sexist where that clearly wasn't the case.
Yeah.
Like, the more something seems to be just on the up and up and just a miscommunication between two people and that you can make that seem racist, the more you're held up on the shoulders of the people.
Yeah.
Which is insane to me. You know, it's because I could do that better than these people are doing it. I know that I can.
That's your problem with this whole thing?
That is my problem with this whole thing. It's like they're not even doing it that good. Like all of the stuff that they're saying, the connections that they're making have so many holes in it.
Yeah.
Like the logical leaps are it's cavernous how far they're trying to leap and make a connection.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting here like as a person who's into communication and debate, and I'm like, dude, you fucking suck. It's like, yes, I disagree with you, but here, let me show you how to make your argument better.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
First of all, start with this. You ain't black. Yeah. So, I am, though, not to switch topics too much. I keep thinking about your theory the other day about how politicians are such pussies compared to the founding fathers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I've been laughing about that all night long.
Because we were talking about, so America, you know, what we love about America, right, is that we're all kind of rebellious and everybody came here to live their own life and their freedom. And, you know, we fought wars. All the way through founding America was fighting wars, you know. And so, like, Benjamin Franklin and all the people that did the Constitution, they were ready to throw down.
Yeah.
At any moment.
At any moment.
Like, they were in there writing things on paper, but they were out dueling in the streets. They were...
Stabbing each other. Yeah. Stabbing each other's uncles and shit.
Yeah. There were stakes being held here. Like, they meant what they were writing on that paper.
And wholeheartedly.
Like, yeah.
It was literally written in blood.
Yeah.
So, they didn't have ink back then.
Yeah.
They literally put blood, sweat, and tears into their quills and wrote shit.
And it wasn't to, like get that guy over there that was bothering them. Like, oh, I'm gonna forget, like what you were just talking about. Like, yeah. I'm going to catch him being racist or
Cause
something.
Could you just go to his house and fight him?
Yeah. Yeah. There was no catching.
Yeah.
There
was it was like, oh, there was a lot of catching. There was a lot of catching. A lot of hands. Like, you're gonna catch these hands. Yeah. And that is a funny thing to consider, where if you had the founding fathers from today interacting with the politicians, the founding fathers interacting with the politicians of today.
Yeah.
The founding fathers would be canceled in a day.
Oh, yeah. The founding fathers would be canceled in a day?
Wholeheartedly.
But then the politicians would have to go out in the street and fight them and duel.
No, well, again, you're bringing them.
Oh, bringing them into today. This world?
Yeah.
I want to take our politicians back to that world.
Yeah, kind of like that. If time travel existed, that should be the first thing that we do. Send our politicians back in time to get orientation.
Yeah.
You know, like, what you call, like, you like punch your own palm of your hand. We call it orientation.
Yeah. They survive, they can come back and keep their job.
Basically.
Yeah.
Basically, if they come back, it's like, all right, you're not a pussy. Cool. Cool, dude.
What do you think would happen to Benjamin Franklin if he was brought into this time?
I think we'd be shocked at how much of a pig he is. I think he was probably, you know, like a spitting, like a little racist, a little sexist, you know, probably a sex addict.
Yeah.
Yeah, he cheated on his wife all the time.
Really?
Yeah, that was that's something that is a little covered up in history.
Yeah, I didn't know that about him.
Yeah, he's when people do start talking about that information, though, they're like, Ben Franklin was a womanizer. He wasn't a good guy. I don't know why we celebrate him like this. He actually cheated on his wife all the time, right? And Matt McCusker from Matt and Shane's Secret Podcast, he has a really funny bit about that, where he's talking about, you know, it's like, will you ever see the women from that time period?
Yeah.
You know, they were all, you know, they all looked like men. They all had like big forearms from constantly burying their dead children. And it was just like, and he invented electricity.
Yeah.
Like before him, it was always dark at 5 p.m. And then after him, it wasn't. You don't think he's going to get some snizz on the side once in a while?
Fair.
It's like, come on, man.
Yeah.
It's like, you, what else could you do to make yourself feel godlike?
Yeah.
And then there was light. Dude, it's like, come on.
Yeah. But back then, some of them were still wearing the wigs, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like Benjamin Franklin didn't wear the wig. He had his bald head and his like scraggly hair down his neck, right?
He didn't give a shit.
No.
They didn't have mirrors back then. Not good ones anyway.
Had to go look in a lake.
Yeah. And you look in a lake, everybody's handsome in a lake. Dude, it's like that. You can't even tell you're balding in a lake. You're just like, oh, shit. Damn. No wonder Ben Franklin's getting all this pussy. Damn, I am fine. Yeah. That's, and that probably drastically changed the amount of pussy getting in the first year. Like, there was probably, like, so much sex happening. And then lights existed. And then everybody was like, yeah, I also got a headache. You're right. I'm tired, too. I don't know. Maybe we should get to know each other better, like, develop, like, a relationship first. That was the beginning of people getting to know each other better.
Yeah. Or I'm feeling judged.
The word didn't even exist before light.
I just feel like you're judging me.
Would you stop looking directly at me in the light, please? I feel like I just don't like being judged. Yeah, but that was cracking me up. I also want to say this. Is we also, this is what I wanted to say about observation versus judgment. It's the way that we handle it when we determine that somebody is being judgmental.
Yeah.
Right? And that, to me, is a huge problem. Because when we were taught not to judge, or let me take one step back first. When we were told not to feel judged by people, we were told because we need to only care about what we think, how we feel on the inside. There was a flip side to that coin that is kind of barely remembered. Don't judge people. Because when you judge people, when you point the finger, there's like a thumb pointing at
you.
It never made sense to me, though.
When there's three fingers pointing back at you.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is. Three fingers. It's the three fingers.
Yeah.
And I was always like a retard. Like, how do I point at me, though? fuck him. I don't see what he's saying.
That guy.
Let's get him. And that's what it is. That's what it is now. When we determine that somebody is being judgmental, it's like, let's get him.
Yeah.
When that shouldn't be the case. What should be the case is that guy's being judgmental. I feel so sorry for him.
Yeah.
Because a person that's being judgmental, they're projecting their own issues.
For sure, yeah.
But we shouldn't busy our mind and our awareness trying to deal with those people. Like, when people are judgmental, we should be like, all right, that's him. He can have that prison. I'm going to move on with my life and conduct it in a good way. But we put too much focus on that person now.
And it's not even like, oh, I see that person, they're being judgmental. Let me engage in an intellectual conversation with them to try to enlighten them and help them see why their judgments might not be the end all be all. it's like what you said. It's like, get him.
Yeah.
like what? That doesn't help anybody.
None. Not a single person.
Yeah.
Not a single person is helped by that. So then we get into this situation now where that is the impetus for action. Somebody appearing to be judgmental. And then everybody kind of converges on that person.
Yeah.
And then real issues are just kind of like skating by.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because like the thing about being judgmental is, like you're saying, like we all have judgmental thought. Like we all go beyond observations and we have judgmental thoughts.
Well, I don't. But I understand that people like that you're very liberal and I understand how liberal people function. But carry on.
But like that's part of growing up, right? Like you see these things, you make judgments on them, you learn why your judgment may or may not be right, and you build on that. So like we're telling kids that they can't judge anything anymore.
There's no room to grow.
There's no that's why they can't learn anything
you
in school.
Already be perfect.
Yeah.
What's perfect? Well, but get a pen. you got a lot of shit to write down,
yeah,
dude.
It's all gonna start with don't do this, don't do that, don't do, like what are you left to do? You don't know.
And you better not even slide on a single one.
Yeah.
You better not.
Anytime you could get you.
Yeah. This is a little bit of a subject switch because this is something that's been cracking me up. So you know how when you're dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you're in a dream. This is a jacked theory, by the way.
Mm.
Yeah, this is a two jack theory. We'll see what happens with it.
I'm gonna judge it.
Yeah, well, you ain't black. You think whatever you want to think about my dream theory. You ain't black. So, when you're dreaming, and there's a person in your dream, and you know that that person is the person you know it is, but they have somebody else's face.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that? That's some lazy brain shit, right?
You think it's just lazy brain shit?
I don't know what it seems like it is.
You can't think of the other face. So you're just like, I already had this face conjured up, so I'm going to leave that face.
I just keep it. Like, I know that looks like Tara, but that's definitely Kevin. That's Kevin.
Like so much meaning into all of our dreams. Like, what if it's just your brain being lazy? Like,
I think it is. It kind of reminds me of the Fresh Prince when they switched Aunt Viv's.
Yeah, from, yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's like, yeah, that's Aunt Viv. It's clearly not Aunt Viv. Trust me, it's Aunt Viv. It's Aunt Viv. All right, I guess it's Aunt Viv. But how did they make those children? But Carlton's so dark. It can't be Aunt Viv. Yeah. What a lazy brain thing. That no, like we don't even talk about that.
About just, lazy brain?
We just act like
it all has meaning.
Yeah, there's something. We haven't been able to break down the brain enough to determine the meaning behind all of these things, but there's no reason, there's no way the brain is doing that for no reason. It's like, it's not for no reason. The brain is taking a nap on that one. The brain is like, I don't feel like it.
Yeah. I think you're onto something.
Yeah. Whatever.
That is a jack theory. That is right? A two jack theory.
Thank you.
I'm with you.
Whatever part of your brain that is responsible for that part of dreams is definitely saying, we don't need to go back to work. Let's just let the government give us $600.
Like, that's the
word.
We're good, man. Good. I am definitely black.
Just that's the black part of everyone's brain.
Now that was a judgment.
Oh, that's the part of everyone's brain that's voting for Joe Biden. I don't know. It's like, don't listen. Listen, if you're trying to figure out whether or not to vote for me, Joe Biden, listen to that part of your brain that conjures up a person, but has that person be another person. Oh, my God. Oh, man. This was a great episode. We're at 36 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Oh, we're firing along. Man.
Do you know much about Dionysus, the god?
The god of wine.
God
right?
of wine, yeah.
That's all I know.
Oh man, so I've been learning about Dionysus through the lenses of, you know, the stuff that I'm learning of him. And And so real, it's going to be real jacked, this interpretation, because there's a lot of information and names and stuff.
Well, real quick, though, because when I first thought about that, my first thought was like, man, it's crazy how we don't have, we no longer have like gods of inebriation or gods of like alcohol and everything. Yeah. But that's not necessarily the case, because we have Jim Beam. And we also, well, we also had the Marlboro Man.
Oh, yeah.
I know he's a cigarette guy, but he probably drinks Budweiser.
What about the Peanut Man? He's doing something.
He's probably a gin drinker.
Yeah. I think he's on meth.
Think Mr. Peanut does meth. I mean, well, he doesn't have any teeth. He's nothing to lose.
Yeah.
All right, so there it is. Mr. Peanut is the god of peanuts and meth. If I ever see somebody on meth eating peanuts or peanut butter, or you know what I mean? It's just like, I'm just going to lose it. Man, I like it. I'm glad that that is part of my black brain now.
That one
Thank
away.
You. I'm just tucking that right in the black brain, putting that in the Kool-Aid jar. In the black brain. All right. So Dionysus
is like part of like the whole when they were trying to do away with women as gods. So like
I can't get past this.
You
can't drop it. All right, let's hear it.
So they used to have women gods, and you know, women along with like fertility and you know, bringing life onto the earth, like one other thing, big thing that women were responsible was for irrationality, which at first sounds very much like Sydney likes this, right? I was like, I can't tell Sydney this.
Oh my goodness gracious! I just wonder if the people listening to this, not the people watching,
could
on,
feel
on,
how your eyes.
Yeah, I wonder if they could just feel like my heart, like, you know, like when the Grinch, when he started to love and he's just like, his heart started to grow. Like, that's how I felt just now. just now. I felt like my heart just grew 10 times larger. But
so at first I was very offended by this.
Of course you are.
You know, and I was like, what? What is this nonsense? But then the way he explained it, you know, because there's a lot of things that, you know, enjoying art or painting, music, you know, isn't rational.
It's all gay.
It's not rational. It takes some of your irrationality. Why we love and why it means so much to us comes from some irrational places. Like, you know, so when they're using irrationality, it's like things you can't explain. You know, like love comes from, it's not always logical.
Yeah.
And so there's like, this is, and laughter. Laughter isn't always logical. You know, you laugh at things that.
Yeah.
At
so,
different times.
So basically, it would be like before they really understood things scientifically. So, like, if a plant was kind of like moving towards the window as it grew,
woman.
And a guy was like, I don't know why the fuck that does that. My wife thinks she knows why.
Yeah.
And she's like, it loves the window.
Sing to it. Honey, come on, honey. Come sing to the plant with me.
It loves it. It loves it.
So women are gods of all these things, right? Yeah. So there used to be a goddess before Dionysus, but like they're phasing out all those goddesses.
Yeah.
So they bring Dionysus along. But Dionysus may have been like our very first cross-dresser.
Okay.
Because
the god of wine, for sure.
Right?
For sure. I mean, just even, not even like out of actually trying to cross-dress, but just like waking up in a hangover, just putting on whatever he can find.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't know, just like whatever. It's like, Dionysus, you're wearing a dress like, oh, please don't yell. Please don't yell. Please don't yell. I mean, thank you. Thank you. But yeah.
Yeah, so he's like very effeminate too when like they describe him and stuff.
Wine drinkers are very effeminate.
Yeah.
Like, so far this all checks out.
And so then there were a lot of.
But wine drunk makes you gay. When you're drunk on wine, you got to be very careful.
Yeah.
That's the most dangerous type of drunk. Well, the two most dangerous drunks are gin and wine.
Yeah.
Because gin. Like, or vodka, like any of those white alcohols, like they make you fight and then wine makes you gay.
Is it like you don't just want to stick your dick in any old hole? It's like, oh, I want a butt, like any butt I find. Is that like the
slippery
slope? It makes you gay. Like you want to hug and be with men.
With vodka, you'll stick it in anything.
Yeah.
But it's not even sexual at that point.
Yeah.
It's more like you're plundering. That's why that would be the difference. Like one of the things that I was in my research, yeah. in the research that I'm doing with the lectures, The Other Side of History.
Yeah.
He's talking about how they drank wine in Greece and they drank other things like beer and other things in Persia. And the people that drank the other things, they were barbarians because of what their inebriation did. Like, not only because of that did they call them barbarians,
but there's culture. Like
another trait that proves that they're barbarians.
Yeah.
Like, look at what they drink. And look how they get when they drink.
Yeah.
Look how we get when we drink. We get all like gay.
You know, are they more sophisticated?
We start decorating
then?
And shit. Yeah. But yeah.
So then there was all these they had little religious groups that worshipped each one of these gods back then. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of cult worship for the god of Dionysus, but it was mainly women that would get together and they'd go out into the woods and they'd worship the god of Dionysus and they'd, you know, they'd lose all their faculties and they become like, they have a word for it. Like there's like a, I apologize to anybody who knows real Greek mythology.
Right, real quick for 1 second. By the way, check out the Patreon. Make sure you check out our Patreon. $1 gets you in.
Yes.
And all right, go ahead. Speak your nonsense. Like this is right at the height where people are like, oh man, what's she going to say? Go to the Patreon. Check out the Patreon. Like, subscribe, review, all that stuff. I forgot to do that earlier. But all right. So offend the people that know shit.
So there's like this one story of a family that you know, the women were out there doing their worship of Dionysus and they'd take drugs that puts them in a frenzy and they become like animals. And like her son wanted to watch it. So he's like up in a tree watching them and they spy him and he's too far from the city to get to get help. And they get him and they like tear, like they're all about like they tear things limb to limb and they like rip skin off and stuff.
Also a woman thing.
Well, the other thing is that
Like torture and punishments used to be so logical until women started whispering in ears. You know what I mean? It'd be like, oh, that's what he did? Banished forever. And then a woman was like, why, on his way out.
You think all that crazy torture stuff came from women? Why don't you tie him in a canoe, put him in the boat and cover him with honey and tie him down so that the animals come and pick him apart over 2 weeks.
God's like, can you just leave. Just get the fuck out. And then it was like there was a guy who was like, you know, wine drunk enough in charge.
Yeah.
He was like wine drunk all the time.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. You get a
he
couple
was
of
like,
those.
Man, these bitches is spitting over here. All right, put them in the canoe. Where's the honey?
Wait, I'm going to have to go back and listen to that because there were a number of rulers that, like their mom, like because the other stuff I'm listening to is like powerful women. And a lot of those powerful women are like the moms that came along with the leaders and they were there and like.
Yeah, well, so it would be like, so again, this is me speculating.
Really? This is in fact? Okay.
But like, so take it to medieval times. So it'd be like, all right, dude, you fucked up. You got to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And then a woman like, well, since we're already kicking him out, why don't we just put him in the stocks and then judge him? I mean, why waste a good banishment? But I do feel like those are inspired by women. Like, especially any punishment where the town folk are like throwing rotten vegetables at you.
I've got all this rotten vegetables, so I need to know what to do with it. And he sucks.
Yeah,
so.
It's like, I can't make any more banana bread. We got to throw these at people.
Logical.
Like, yeah, it's like, I mean, we don't even have enough flour to keep making zucchini bread. Just throw them at a bad guy.
So, you know, like, and so like they killed. She ended up killing her son.
Yeah,
like
limb from limb. That's what got us on this. Limb from limb.
And, but like the theory is that they, you know, this is all in an effort to make men view women in a different light, in a light that, you know, at the time it was like men started to see women as creatures that could, you know, that they
fuck them up if they weren't paying attention. Yeah. Dude, that must have been, because that must have been a very terrifying moment, because you realize that, holy shit, were they always like this? That must have been terrifying.
Because you think about back then, like there's like Medusa, and think about the Odyssey, like all the sirens and like all the evil creatures that you encounter out there in the world, they're all female.
Yeah. And it's also funny too, because like you would get like a slight victory in your loss, because like the sirens, they were like lure you over, fuck you, then kill you.
Yeah.
And like Medusa, turn you into stone and fuck you and kill you. It's like, oh, they're gonna fuck you and kill you. Yeah. So all right, go ahead.
That's about it. Like, yeah. It's just like, I don't know, that's just setting up the dynamics between men and women, and you know, how we all treat each other, and it's just part of the.
So listen, if that helps you understand the dynamics between men and women better, you're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah. I think we're good here. I also want to bring shout outs back.
Okay. You miss them?
I do miss them.
Yeah.
They're fun to do. And it's like, not only are they fun to do, but as you mention a person, if you feel good.
Your little heart dude, gets bigger. Like,
it does. It yeah. does. So start off with a shout out to Andy Pace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he takes care of all of these podcasts.
He builds a community, man.
He does. That guy knows how to build a community. And so, like, shout out to Andy Pace. Shout out to, I should probably get my phone. I haven't done this in a while.
Yeah.
It's you start shouting out some people while I'm doing this.
Shout out to our jiu-jitsu ladies, like MJ and Courtney and Heather and Janelle. And I don't know anybody else who listens. Any other ladies?
Yeah. Shout out to all the women that ain't twats. That's I'm going to start calling your history part of this podcast that the segment of women that ain't twats.
Okay.
They ain't black either, but they're not twats. All right. So I got Mike Butler. Yeah, Mike, why am I not shouting these people out? Mike Levy, you kidding me?
Yeah.
I'm going to go a whole episode without shouting out my man. Lizbot, Doc, who's writing stories inspired by our, and we're not going to do shout outs.
That's your insane. Decision.
That was a very liberal. That was the black part of my brain making that decision. If that was the black, it was like, I don't even know, man. I don't know why I did.
You're just taking away the joy, Sydney.
It was Phil Clark, Kevin Stevens, Julian from Canada, and Meg, of course.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, they were still getting shout outs.
Yeah.
They were essential listeners.
Yes.
And then Kevin Lau, Mary Jo, who you mentioned, Nicole, Janelle, Courtney, my man Coach Rick.
Goodness gracious. I miss Coach Rick.
I do. I miss him so much, man.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things, like, as a guy, it's like, how do you approach a guy you miss? you know, because I only want to contact him because I miss him.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, I don't know how to do that.
Yeah. So, I don't know, we just were like, hey, I miss you so much. Heart, heart, heart.
Yeah, yeah. It's
yeah. Now, you talk about people that bring joy. Like, he brings joy with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
To other people.
I hope he's doing okay, man. Because it's I just hope he's getting the joy back now in this, you know, in a tough time of joy getting and giving, you know. I hope he's getting all the joy. And Andrew Pace, we already shouted out, but he can get two. Keith Butts, Kyle Hancock, Erica Daniels. She's the reason. She might be the single reason I wanted to bring this back. Like, I've been seeing some of her posts recently, and she cracks me up.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even, like them all, but she fucking cracks me up. So, Erica Daniels, Levi Mercer, Justin Masabi, Ezekiel Ellis, Logan, Ryan, Joe, Roger Downs, Rob, Joe Francis, in your company, your girlfriend's company, Saved by the Reef, TJ James, our man down under, holding us down under. And then Nick Cupsey and his two books, Lost in the Mail, and The Five People You Meet in Wawa. And then don't know who this old guy is. And I don't want to forget Chris Bruno or Kevin McGran.
Oh, you can forget Chris Bruno. You can unshout him out.
I can't. I cannot wait until we get back to being able to fight each other.
I know.
He's going to kill you.
What?
That's gonna be like every time that match happens, I'm going to be like, everybody gather around. This is the one we want to watch. So,
and we do have another challenge that you're going to post soon, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's getting posted.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, shout out to Hearts Jiu-Jitsu holding it down.
Yes.
I mean, because I used to be at a point where I was like, I feel worried, like,
associating them with us. This
because of, and all these people, it's like, nobody cares. Nobody's respecting other people anymore. So why should we be, like, tiptoeing around their emotions because they might get angry and start, like, trying to mischaracterize what's happening here?
Yeah.
Shout out to Hearts Jiu-Jitsu. I mean, they're holding down a whole community and, like, being an example of what can be done.
Yes.
That's sick.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're amazing.
Sick. It's sick that we get to be part of that.
Amazing. Yeah.
So Hearts Jiu-Jitsu in Conshohocken, Pennsylvania, show them some love. And you can even sign up and enroll now and enroll.
It'll be worth it, too.
Do some online classes.
It'll make your life better.
Yeah, I would say definitely always do the Muay Thai when that's an option because, you know, right now a lot of the jiu-jitsu is explanation. If you don't have a partner at home to train with, you might not get as much out of it, but you will definitely get everything you need to out of the Muay Thai.
And there's 3 workout classes a week.
3 a week. Like, this ain't no accident. So, that was, if you're listening to it, I was flexing into the camera. But yeah, I think that's those are all shout outs.
Yeah.
Right? I think that was a good episode. That was a great episode. So we'll power around, like, do some parenting, and then come back a little later and try to do a Patreon. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Check out the Patreon while you can. Also, shout out to Melissa Vile from Circadian Clock. That's who you're listening to right now. That's who you're listening to up front. They're the best band in the world. Check them out. All right. We love you guys. Thank you so much.